Well, good morning, everyone. My name is George. I'm one of the pastors on staff here at Grace Point. I invite you to take to hand the worship folder that you received on the way in. You can take some notes as we take a look at worry and the role that worry plays in our life. We are in the next installment in our series, Upon Further Review, where much like in football and hockey and baseball, plays that are challenged are closely reviewed by officials. We're putting under review critical areas of our life. We've looked at a bunch. We've still got a few more to go. But today we're going to talk about the anxiety, the worry that produces so much stress in our lives. So, to start off with, let me just ask you this question. How many of you are willing to admit that you are worriers? Just put up your hands. Thank you for being honest. The rest of you are going to go home and worry that you didn't tell the truth today. Wouldn't it be great if we could just get rid of the worry that produces so much stress in our life? Wouldn't it be great if you could just grab a pencil, snap it in two, and all of a sudden all the stress in your life would be gone? The question that we want to wrestle with this morning is, how do we work to begin to reduce the stress in our life that causes so much worry? And the truth is, we all struggle on some level with anxiety or stress, either occasionally or regularly. And much of that comes from the worries in our life. And if you're a person of faith and you've been reading your Bible or you've been around the church for any length of time, you'll inevitably bump into a verse like this. It's up there on the screen. Read it with me. Don't worry about anything. That was anemic, lethargic, and terrible. Come on, let's do this together. Don't worry about anything. Right? For many of you, you look at that verse and it creates even more stress in your life. You're like, it says, don't worry about anything. And you simply feel, I can't do that. Right? And so you begin to worry about the fact that you worry. And now you've just added another worry to your list of worries. Most of us struggle with worry. I come from a family that has perfected worrying. If you don't do it, you just don't fit in with the rest of us, right? And then I've discovered that worry warts come in all shapes and sizes. It's not just that nervous person that you might think of. Many times the worrier is that quiet, subdued person. Many times the greatest worriers are the people who seem like they've got everything under control. But behind the scenes, they're constantly worried about keeping everything under control. And so this morning, we're going to talk about ways that we can begin to reduce worry in our life. Let me give you a list from a top Christian psychologist of some of the indicators of worry in our life. 12 questions that, if answered affirmatively, indicate that you are a person who is going to struggle with worry on a consistent basis. And I'll just ramble through these pretty quickly. So the first one, do you tend to dwell on problems? Are you easily upset by small annoyances? Do you feel insecure about the future? Do you feel out of touch with God? Are you naturally critical? Do you exhibit physical symptoms like headache or backache? Do you find it hard to accept defeat? Like the first 6 of these points have already related exactly to you. That kind of defeat in life, right? Do you feel burned out? Do you find loose ends hard to handle? Are you extremely time conscious? Do you constantly rehash past events in the middle of the night? Are you defensive and confrontational? Most of us, I would argue, have some of those on that list. We all struggle with worry on some level. Yet I would say that there are different levels of worriers. There are probably 3 specific levels of worriers in the room today. Level 1 are those of you who worry some of the time. I think we all struggle with that. The next level up are those of you who worry all of the time. Every day of your life, there is something for you to worry about, something for you to be anxious about. But that's not even the highest level. There are some of you who are real pros. You have worrying down to a science. In fact, for you, it's become a way of life. You don't worry just all of the time, but you also worry about those who don't worry in life but feel they should. In fact, you're so good at worrying that you've become the designated worrier at work, in your family, in your office, your neighborhood, whatever. Whichever one you are, there are some of you who have really struggled with this for years. You could write a book, The Worrier's Guide to Good Worrying. You've listened to podcasts. You've read good books. You pick up a magazine. You've read so much about it, there's not even much more new information for you in what you're reading. But this morning I want to give all of us some hope. Whether you've struggled with worry for years, or it's just something that you're experiencing in your life right now, and you want to get a handle on it. So let's take a look together at how we can reduce the anxiety that's a part of all of our lives. First of all, we have to ask the question, why is it that we worry? When it comes right down to it, we worry because we think it works. Somehow we think that worrying works for us. We think it helps us be better people, or make better plans, or take better care of our families, be better parents. We think it controls our future. But the truth is, worry doesn't work for us, it actually works on us. Worry can make us the kind of person nobody else wants to be around. Worry creates emotions in us that blinds us to the beauty of every day. Worry can affect us spiritually, where we can begin to feel as if we're distant from God. And we know that worry can affect us physically in various ways. Our stomach, our head, our back will keep score in some way. So how do you find something that can work for you? How do you begin to get released from this anxiety trap that you often find yourself in? We're going to look at a great story from the New Testament this morning. So I invite you to grab your Bibles or your phones. Open up with me to Matthew chapter 8. We're going to take a look at a great story of Jesus and his disciples in a boat out on the Sea of Galilee. And something quite powerful happens out there that we'll learn from this morning. And in this story, we're going to see two things before we read it. We're going to see the causes of worry. If you're going to release worry from your life, you have to understand where it's coming from. You have to be honest about its source. And then we're going to take a look at the cures for worry. What are some of the things that God can do in your life and my life to really begin to break this worry problem that we struggle with? So first, let's take a look at where worry comes from. Matthew chapter 8, I'll be reading verses 23 to 24 initially from the New Living Translation. It says there, "Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a terrible storm came up with waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping." There are some reasons the disciples became anxious here, the same reasons that we become anxious. Firstly, they became anxious because of the storm that was upon them. One of the reasons we become anxious and begin to worry in our lives is because of unexpected problems. When problems or crises come into our lives and they come so suddenly, it creates worry. Geographically, the area around the Sea of Galilee acts as a natural wind funnel, so fierce storms can come up very suddenly and very unexpectedly. Just like our lives and the storms of life, suddenly and unexpectedly, circumstances can sweep over our lives. And sometimes there are seasons of life where this happens so regularly that we begin to think, where's the next storm coming from? When is the next big one going to hit? And so we become anxious and we begin to worry. Some of you, quite frankly, have had a year filled with storms, fierce storms. And because of that, and because you don't know where the next one's coming from, you begin to worry, thinking that somehow worrying will keep the next storm from hitting. We know that worrying doesn't work, but because we want to keep the storm away, or at least we feel like bracing ourselves, we worry, because we think worry works. Now, these disciples weren't just worried because of the storm, but they also began to worry because the waves were beginning to crash into their boat. We worry not only because of the problems that we see coming at us out on the horizon, the storms that are coming, but because of overwhelming circumstances like right now in our life. Right? So the disciples, they not only saw the storm coming, they saw that the waves were crashing into their boat and filling their boat with water. What we need to remember here, by the way, is that a good chunk of these disciples, at least four or five of them, were actually professional fishermen. They knew what it was like to be out on the Sea of Galilee. They'd been out there fishing their whole life. And they understood that this was indeed a serious storm. This was a real problem that they were facing. Sometimes the reasons we worry is not because we're making things up. We actually have real problems which overwhelm us. We have waves crashing into our boat. Life circumstances can quickly pile up and we can become overwhelmed. Now, it's not just being overwhelmed by the things which trouble us that causes us to worry. We can actually be overwhelmed by many good things that we pile into our life. Our schedule can be so filled with many good and helpful things, but we feel overwhelmed by what we've done to ourselves. It's too much, too fast, and we worry. The disciples also worried because they were in this little boat out on this big lake in a big storm. So we worry when we feel like we have inadequate resources. We look at our lives and we think, you know, I don't have it enough. I don't have enough of whatever it is to make it through this time. Do you think, by the way, that the disciples would have been worried if they were out on a cruise ship in the middle of the Sea of Galilee out in the storm? No, it's because of the size of their boat. They were in a small boat in a big storm. And some of you right now, you're looking at your life and you're thinking, big bills, small paycheck. We don't have enough to make it through to the next month. Full schedule, small amount of time and energy. I don't have enough strength to make it through. When you feel like you don't have adequate resources to get done what needs to get done, it can lead you to worry. And there's a fourth reason the disciples worried, and it was this. Here they are, they're in this storm that has come up upon them suddenly. Waves are beginning to fill their boat, and they look at the back of the boat, and Jesus is sleeping. There are times in life where we're feeling all alone. We feel like we're isolated, and it causes us to worry. Right? Just put yourself there with the disciples in the boat. They look out of the boat. The wind is whipping them around. The waves are tossing their little boat about. They're slowly getting soaked, and water is pooling in the bottom by their feet. And with anxiety levels rising, they look back and they see that Jesus is sleeping. He's taking a nap. Now, granted, he's just ministered to huge crowds of people and he's tired. And he knows that there are going to be huge crowds waiting for him on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. So he's getting some rest between ministry appointments. But can't you just see that the way the disciples keep looking at him as the storm gets worse and worse? As the waves get higher and higher and the wind whips about them, they're looking at each other wondering, when is he going to wake up? Like, I can hear the conversation they must have had, looking at one another saying, I can't believe he's sleeping through this. Go wake him up. Other guy says, no, I'm not going to wake him up. No, go wake him up. I'm not going to wake him up. Last time I tried to wake him up, he asked me to walk on water. I'm not waking him up. And they have this discussion, this back and forth, and they keep looking at him, hoping that somehow he's going to wake up and notice what's going on. I wonder if you've ever felt that way. You're going through a circumstance in your life, something you're really struggling with, and it's getting worse and worse. And it's like you keep glancing in God's direction with prayer, or by reading the Bible, or by going to church. And you're sitting there saying, God, do you notice what's going on in my life? Do you care? Worry often grows out of the suspicion that nobody cares about us, and we're left feeling all alone. And the longer that you've been in church, the longer you've been a Christ follower, the harder it is to admit that there are times in all of our lives when we think, God, like, are you taking a nap? Why don't you do something? There are times in all of our lives where the waves get higher and higher and higher, and nothing seems to be happening, and we won't admit it. But what we want to do is we want to run to the back of the boat. We want to grab Jesus. We want to shake him awake and say, listen, don't you see? Don't you see what's happening to my kids, Jesus? Don't you see what's happening in our finances? Don't you see what's happening at work? Do you see what's going on with my business? Don't you see that my marriage is beginning to unravel? Don't you see? So how do you keep from worrying when God doesn't immediately answer a need that you have? How do you keep from worrying when there's a time between your cry for help and the answer that comes? And when you feel somehow that God isn't there, or that he's like asleep. He is there, but you feel that he's not there because the answer hasn't come yet. I know it doesn't work by way of solutions. Clichés don't work. I could tell you, don't worry, be happy, and sing that great Bobby McFerrin song to you. But clichés don't work. I could tell you that tomorrow it's going to get better. Don't worry about it. But that doesn't work. I could cite statistics to you, but that doesn't work. There are proven statistics that tell us that 95% of all that we worry about is never going to happen. The celebrated British Prime Minister Winston Churchill once said, "When I look back on all these worries, I remember the story of the old man who said on his deathbed that he had had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which had never happened." The American poet and diplomat James Russell Lowell expressed a similar sentiment when he said, "Let us be of good cheer, remembering that the misfortunes hardest to bear are those which will never happen." So I could tell you, hey, 95% of what you're worried about is never going to happen, but that doesn't help. Even appeals to reason and with regard to health don't work. We know, friends, what worry does to us. We know that it raises our heart rate and our blood pressure and causes ulcers. We know what it does to us emotionally and how that affects the people that we do life together with. We know how anxiety wears us out and how it actually affects us. We know how many worried people are in hospitals, but still we can't stop. Why is that? Because we haven't found a better answer yet. We haven't found a way to stop worrying. Because again, we're stuck in this place where we think that worrying works. We live with this pipe dream that actually worrying will change our situation. Well, have a look at the end of the story with me and discover Jesus' antidote to worry. We'll pick up the story in verse 25. The disciples went to Jesus and woke him up shouting, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." And Jesus answered, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then he stood up and he rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly all was calm. The disciples just sat there in awe. "Who is this?" they asked themselves. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." To begin to reduce the worry load in your life, the anxiety and the stress, the first thing that we learn from the story here is that we need to ask for help. Ask for help. There came a moment when it got so bad that the disciples went to Jesus, they woke him up, and they asked for help. When was that moment? It became urgent for them to ask for help when they thought that they were going to drown. And remember, a good number of these guys are seasoned fishermen. They'd been through fierce storms. Why is it that we wait until we think we're going to drown before we ask for help? Why is it that we handle life something like this? We say, "I got this. Don't worry about it. I got this." Then we say, "I can handle this." Then we say, "I'll make it through this." And then we say, "Oh no, I'm sunk." Why is it that we wait before we're going under? Or why is it we wait until we think we're going under before we ask for help? Why don't we ask for help sooner? We wouldn't even have to worry if we did. We wait too long to ask for help. And that's one of the lessons in this story. The disciples asking for help teaches us how important it is to ask. The worriers that remain worriers are always reluctant to ask for help. Here, by the way, is the back half of that verse that we read at the very beginning from Philippians 4:6. "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he's done." This is one of the keys to defeating the worry that you carry around in life. Prayer is the way we talk with God and ask for help today. And you might be sitting there thinking, "You know what? I've tried that. I talked to God about this. I prayed about it. But quite frankly, I'm still just as worried now as I was when I started." Well, let me encourage you, before you give up on prayer, before you give up on asking God for help, to follow the directions. If I told you that aspirin would cure a headache, and you took it home and you took that aspirin and you put it under your pillow, or you put it in a little vial around your neck, or you dissolved it in the water that you were going to take a bath in, do you think it would help you? No, because you didn't follow the directions. There are some simple directions for prayer in this verse. There is a kind of prayer, a kind of asking that reduces worry in our lives. Notice three things with me. It says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything." We're to talk to God about everything. The more things you pray about, the less worries you have. So don't just pray about the crisis situations in your life. Pray about the big decisions that aren't tagged to crises. Pray about your pray for your children. Talk to God about your children. And let's be honest, as parents, our children take up a lot of bandwidth
when it comes to our worries. Talk with God about all the decisions that you have to make in your life, your everyday life. Really, the secret is just make one more step toward praying about everything. Every step you take toward praying about everything will help the worries subside. And then it says, tell God what you need. God is our loving Father. He's a good, good Father. And He wants to meet your needs. So be specific when you speak with Him about what your needs are. It's not like you're informing them. He already knows. He just wants to see that you trust Him to provide. Don't just tell Him what you're worried about or that you're worried. Tell Him what it is you're worried about and why you're worried. And then it says in that verse, thank Him for all that He's done. I can't think of anything more important to reducing worry in our lives than to be grateful. Many times when we go to talk to God about our worries, we tell Him our needs, but we never thank Him. Take time to nurture an attitude of gratitude. Thanksgiving does more to reduce our worries than you would ever imagine. So the first thing that we need to do is ask for help. The second thing that we need to do is we need to question our fears. Our worries generally grow out of our fears. The things that we're worried about have their root in what we're afraid of. Oftentimes, as human beings, our first response to anything new, to anything different, to anything that involves change is fear. And because of that, to reduce the worry and anxiety, we have to question our fears. We have to take a good, hard look at the fears that are a part of our lives. Take a look at what Jesus said in Luke 14. He said, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. So don't be troubled or afraid. We're about 56 days away from Christmas, and we're going to start preparing for that. And Christmas is a time where we once again remind ourselves of the great gift that God gave us in Jesus Christ. Here's another gift that He gives us. Genuine peace of mind and heart. A genuine lessening of anxiety and worry in your life. Jesus tells us, don't be troubled. Don't be afraid. If you find that you have fears, question them. So let me give you quickly a practical exercise, something you can do this week to begin to question those fears. When you go home, get a piece of paper and make two columns. On one side, write my fears and begin to write your fears down. Sometimes seeing them and being honest about them is the first step to finding God's healing for them. Write down what you're afraid of. Stuff like, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. I'm afraid that my retirement savings won't be enough. I'm afraid that my kids are going to turn out like my in-laws, right? I'm afraid, just saying, it could be a fear. I'm afraid that I won't be able to pay the bills, right? Write them down so that you can see them. Many times our fears look bigger than they actually are, even though they are big enough. Then on the other side, write what if. What if that fear actually happened? And think it through for a moment. I'm afraid I won't be able to pay my bills. I won't be able to pay my mortgage. I might lose my house. I won't be able to pay my car, make my car payment. I might lose my car. And then start asking what if that happened. Because it gives us perspective. I'm afraid of that, but if that happens, God is still going to be there. I'm still going to have people who love me. My life is still going to go ahead. And I'm going to have a deep sense of meaning, even though I can't pay my bills. I can't maintain paying my mortgage. I might have to sell my house. God still has a future for me. I'm still His child. Nothing can change that once you've trusted Him. So face your fears. And the third thing that we learn from this story is that we need to increase our faith. We need to lean into trusting God more. Jesus is saying that we worry because we don't have enough faith. We don't trust God enough. When He looked at these disciples, He said, guys, why is it that you have such little faith? One of the issues I have to deal with if I'm going to decrease worry in my life is that I'm going to have to trust God more. I'm going to have to really lean on Him to take care of my needs. Jesus said it this way once when He was talking to a crowd of people. He said, listen, God clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, but tomorrow is thrown into the fire. So you can be even more sure that God will clothe you. And here it is again. Don't have so little faith. We think that our worries are keeping our boat afloat. That's what we think. We think worry works. And we think if we just worry hard enough, it's going to keep things going. Like our worries are keeping our family afloat. Our worries are keeping us employed. And yet Jesus looks at that and he says, look at the grass in the field. Look at the flowers in the field. Nobody waters the grass there. Nobody cares for that. God still makes beautiful flowers out there. How does he do that? No one's worrying about it. He simply takes care of it. So for those of us who think we have to worry or life won't move ahead, Jesus says, well, why don't you trust me? Trust me. So how, in the midst of all the overwhelming circumstances and problems of life, how do you stop worrying and having anxiety? Maybe the most important thing we're going to look at today is this. The same circumstances that cause us to worry can increase our faith. The same circumstances that cause our worry are actually designed to cause an increase in our faith. The circumstances that come into my life and your life, and we realize, listen, I don't have enough resources. I'm not going to make it through. I can choose in that circumstance to say, I don't have enough. I'm not going to make it through. I'm going to worry. Or we can choose to say, this circumstance is going to cause me to trust God. I'm going to turn this whole situation over to him because I know that he has enough resources and he has a way in this. I'm simply going to trust him with it. Same circumstance. Do you know what this means, by the way? This means that those of you who are incredibly good and accomplished worriers can be people of great faith. You professional worriers, you guys who've got it down to a science. One of the reasons you're really good at worrying is because you're able to look ahead in life and see all the situations and the circumstances that are coming your way or might be coming your way. You see what's going to happen next. And you worry. But what if you became a person who's trusted God, who put faith in God in advance for those circumstances that you see out there in the future? You could become a person of great faith. Instead of being a person who causes anxiety with everybody around you because you're worried about the future and they're not, you can become a person who causes faith in everyone around you to rise because you say, we can trust God. The future is in his hands. The same circumstances, the same thoughts, the same things that create our worry are the circumstances that can create faith when we decide to trust God with it and not to trust in ourselves or in our worries. Luke 8:14 is a verse that many of you have experienced many times. Jesus gave us this picture from the parable of the sower. It says there, the seed that fell among the thorny weeds is like those who hear God's teaching, but they let the worries and the riches and the pleasures of this life keep them from growing and producing good fruit. Some of you have had that happen, that very experience many times. You hear that you can be a person of great faith and you think, I'm going to do that this week. I'm going to be a person of faith. Yet you go out, you get in your car, and before you're even halfway home, the worries of life begin to overwhelm you again and faith goes out the back window. Jesus said that worries can be like a weed that chokes out your faith in your life. So when you and I decide in the circumstances that choke faith out, that instead of worrying, we're instead going to look to God and trust him, we can overcome those worries. And it changes everything. And finally, what the story teaches us is that we need to acknowledge God's control. The end of the story has a powerful point to it, no doubt. Here are the disciples of Jesus in the boat, and they are worried. They are certain they're going to drown. So they wake up Jesus, they fill him in on their fears. Jesus gets up from his sleep, likely somewhat groggy, and he says, guys, why do you have so little faith? Why is it that you're worried? And he looks out and he says, wind, waves, calm down. And they quiet. And it very likely may have been that Jesus went back to sleep. And the disciples are left wondering, like, who is this? Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Here's a point I want you to take home. The disciples were so focused on what was happening around them that they failed to realize who it was that was with them. The disciples were so concerned about their circumstances, the storm, the waves, the little boat on the big sea, that they had forgot that they had God with them in their boat. It's not just like us. We take a look at everything around us and we focus on that and we forget that God is with us. Jesus Christ came to this earth to be in our boat. That's why we're going to be celebrating Christmas in a few weeks. Christ came to help us on our journey in life. He came to be a part of our life. Many of you have already experienced that. You've received the gift of God's Son in your life. You've crossed that line of faith. You trust Him with your life. And by doing that, you've recognized that I matter to God. And God wants to be a part of my life. Right? In the Christmas story that we'll be reading in the next weeks, we read the name Emmanuel. And it appears in many carols. And it means God with us in Jesus Christ. We focus on our circumstances and we fail to remember that God is with us. When we recognize that God is with us and we acknowledge His control in everything, it reduces and lessens the worries that are a part of our lives. Great verse from the book of Chronicles. It says, "Everything in heaven and earth is yours, O Lord. We adore you as being in control of everything." There is no situation in your life, there is no possible situation that can come about in which God does not ultimately have control. So why do we worry? We worry because we try to do what only God can do. We try to control the uncontrollable. We try to be what we were never meant to be. We try to do the things we were never meant to do. We worry because we try to fix the unfixable, explain the unexplainable. We try to play God. And when you acknowledge God's control and that there are many things that only He can do, and you let Him have His place, it's incredible how the worries will begin to fade. Here's what a mom of three said. "It's all about control. The less control I have, the more I worry." Can some of you relate to that? Another mother said, "I feel like I'm tempting fate if I weren't constantly worrying about my kids." We think we're controlling our world through our worries, but we're not. It's actually craziness. It's a crazy strategy because there's so much of life that we cannot control. So to think that somehow if I could control my world enough through my worries or through the things that I do, I won't worry anymore, wouldn't that just put you into this cycle of more worrying? So much of our life is out of our control. We're going to be constantly fighting this battle of anxiety. We'll never be able to get enough control to reduce the anxiety in our life. The secret to not being anxious, the secret to letting go of our worries, is to not take control by worrying. The secret is recognizing and acknowledging the God who is in control of everything. And when you do that, your worries begin to fade. Again, Jesus talked about this to a large crowd of people one day. Earlier He talked about the flowers, now He talks about the birds. He says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" You know what Jesus is saying? He's saying that robins and sparrows don't get ulcers. Ever see a robin or a sparrow saunter up to the counter in Rexall or Shoppers Drug Mart buying a little package of Tums or a little bottle of Pepto-Bismol? They don't worry, do they? Because God takes care of them. Do you know why we ultimately worry? We worry because we have a faulty concept of who God is. We either see Him as a sovereign Scrooge or as a miserly master up in heaven barely giving out little gifts, or maybe as an incompetent manager of this grand universe who can't be trusted. But Jesus says here, if you actually begin to see who God really is and what He's really like, your worries are going to go away. Look at creation. Look at what He's made. Look at how He takes care of it. He clothes the fields with beautiful flowers. He cares for the birds. Understand who God really is. You know, I admit that there are many times in my life that I look and I think, "God, why didn't you answer that prayer sooner? Why didn't you take care of that need more quickly? Why didn't you meet that need the way I would have liked you to have met that need?" I don't understand it all, but I have to tell you, there are many more times when I look at life and I think, "God, you are incredibly gracious. You took care of that without us even asking you. You showed up and made a difference before we could even ask you about it. You lavish your kindness and your love on us in so many unanticipated ways. You have so much mercy and forgiveness. We don't deserve it. And we step back and we realize that we have an incredibly generous and gracious God. And there's no better time to realize that than today. He sent his only son so that we can be forgiven, so that we can enjoy a relationship with him, and we can begin to realize how generous God is. And when we do that, the worries fade away. Because the worry issue is also a control issue. Here's a word from Jesus as we close this morning for those of you who struggle with this issue of control. This is from Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. It's going to be on the screen in just a second. Let's read this together, nice and loud. So don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. So he's not saying here, don't plan for the future. He's saying, don't try to live tomorrow today. When you try to live tomorrow today, you'll always end up worrying. And you can't get in control of the future, but you can recognize who is in control of the future. So I'm going to invite you to bow your heads. I'm just going to ask you a few questions here as we wrap up this morning. Can I challenge you to recognize the truth that the areas of our life over which we worry the most are the same areas where we haven't recognized God's control? Are you worried about your finances this morning? Let me ask you, as you ask yourself, who actually manages my money? Put God in control and the worries lessen. Are you worried about your family, your marriage, your relationships with friends? Ask yourself, who's actually the head of our marriage? Who's calling the shots there? Who's calling the shots in my relationships? Once you give God control in that area, the worries lessen. Are you worried about the future? Ask yourself, who actually holds the future? Once you put it in God's hands, the worries inevitably decline. Are you worried about your safety? About your health? Ask yourself, who am I trusting for security? Who am I trusting with my life? When you trust God, your worries lessen. Are you worried about anything in specific, situation that you're going through? Have you given God charge of that? Any of those areas that you put God in control, you'll know, you will sense that your worries begin to dissipate. Some of us have been worrying for a long time, and we're not going to get out of this cycle right away. We're going to need to recognize that we're going to have to ask God for help. We're going to have to take a hard look at our fears. We're going to have to learn to trust God through those struggles, those areas where we tend to worry. And we're going to need to recognize his control. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning and we acknowledge that we need your help. We just want to acknowledge also that you've invited us to give you all of our worries because you care for us. You care about what happens to us. And so you understand what's worrying each of us right now. You know that some of us have grown very tired of trying to control it all. So this morning, we want to acknowledge that you are ultimately in control. And for those of you who have not entered into a relationship with Jesus that is personal and real, you can say something like this to him. You can say, Jesus Christ, I invite you to take control of my life. I invite you to take control of the circumstances I'm so anxious about. And as best as I know how, I ask you for help this morning. I ask you to calm my fears. I ask you to increase my faith. And I ask you to show your goodness to me. Heavenly Father, you are a good Father. You are in control, and we acknowledge that this morning. We want to thank you for the many ways that you've provided for us in our journey. We want to thank you now that we can worship you, not simply by listening to your word or by singing songs to you and expressing our love to you, not just by acknowledging your presence here amongst us, but we can worship you by giving back to you a portion of what you've blessed us with. You give us all that we need and more, and we just want to say thank you. And as an act of gratitude and as an act of worship, we want to honor you this morning and worship you by giving back to you. So we thank you for your kindness in our life, and we want to bless you and say we love you. Amen. Amen. At this time, I'm